Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
If you'd like to open up to Proverbs chapter 6, that's where we're going to be spending our time this evening. Proverbs chapter 6. I want you to know that although I had kind of a rough weekend of not feeling very well, that I feel fine, I don't have a fever, but I'm not going to be offended if you keep your distance. I've already had one person suggest I need to cover my mouth and say unclean every time I walk by. I don't know if I need to do that, but I do understand that, so that's no problem. I had one of those situations where we wanted to make sure I didn't end up having to make a call this morning at about an hour before service to ask someone else to preach. And so went ahead and made that call last night, but do feel better. And one of the benefits of this morning was actually getting to use our app to watch services. And if you haven't done that, either online or with the app on the phone, that is a tremendously valuable service. And I appreciate so much Chad and the outstanding lesson he had this morning, especially willing to do it on short notice last night and get that together. So I really appreciate that. But also saw the blessing of technology and kind of got to feel like I was here with you, even though I wasn't. And so I'm thankful for that. And I hope that's something you've taken advantage of. I also am glad that we got started on the GPS this morning during Bible class time. There is probably no one person here that can be involved with everything that we do as a congregation. Just the size of this congregation and all of the different ministries we have going on, there just probably isn't a way that one person could do everything, but everybody could do at least one or two things. Everyone can do something, and we can get plugged into ministry. And this is a great opportunity. It has taken a lot of work from our deacons and our elders to coordinate all this. And this is going to be a really great way to make sure if you want to get plugged into a ministry that you can. I think one of the challenges sometimes is the thought of saying, you know, I'd like to do that, but I don't know who to talk to. I don't know who to go to about this. And so this is a way that you can do that. We didn't get a chance to do this morning, but since I'd kind of put together this lesson that we're going to be looking at tonight for this morning, this is our verse for the month of May, thinking about Jeremiah 10 and verse 6. So if you would, let's say this together. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. And that's a great thing for us to remember, that none of us need to be taking any of the glory, but to be glorifying God's name. As I think about everything that's taking place in the month of May, and there are a lot of things that have happened and will happen, I'm very thankful for the work that was done this afternoon as our senior adults group coordinated a reception for those who are in assisted living and in nursing homes and those who are shut in. And I'm just so thankful. Friday, you could see working hard up here, Jack Malone and Peggy Rector and Kenny and Francis Compton putting together everything and getting it set up and ready. And I know there were so many others who volunteered to be part of that. What a blessing to be an encouragement to those who can't always be here when they'd like to. And as we think about that specific group, we also have other groups that will be coming in here. As we think about our Future Ministers Camp and our Spiritual Growth Camp that are coming in soon, and there is a list in the classes and also in the bulletin of which classes, Sunday morning classes, will be responsible for different meals for each night for the Future Ministers Camp and the Spiritual Growth Camp. We always joke about the fact that if you have 30 or 40 teenage boys plus counselors and teachers, they can go through a lot of food at once. And so that's true, but we've changed the schedule some this year, and we've adjusted it where I think it'll be more manageable for our classes. And so I hope you're making a note of that in thinking about what you can do to participate and to encourage those young men. It's always exciting to get to see young men and women who are wanting to grow spiritually. Well, we've been going through on Sunday mornings the book of Proverbs, and we've sort of loosely called it Lifelines. The idea being that the book of Proverbs in Scripture is not only a source of wisdom, but also in the form of poetry, and you get kind of poetic one-liners there. Now, when we think of Proverbs, we might think of statements like this. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Or God helps those who help themselves. Or spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, those are Proverbs. They're just not Proverbs that are found in Scripture. Now, the book of Proverbs does talk about sparing the rod of discipline, but it's not quite the same as that verse that's been handed down over the years. We have probably a lot of wise sayings that if you just ask the average person, they'd probably say, well, sure, that sounds like something that should be in Proverbs. But what we've done is we've gone through is seen that even though you have these one-liners that are sort of put into chapters and the groupings aren't always by subject, we have seen there's a flow to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs begins in chapter 1 and verse 8 with the words of a son, with father exhorting his son, saying, son, listen to my words and to my instructions. And then you get to Proverbs 31, and we have the words of King Lemuel, an oracle, wisdom that he learned from his mother. And so from the beginning and end of Proverbs, we see this theme of a parent exhorting a child. Now, these are words of inspiration, but they're given in the context of a parent saying, you need to remember this. You need to know this. And so it would be hard for us to go through a series on Proverbs without thinking of parenting. Now, it's amazing in the world we live in, you can have as many different resources on parenting as you can imagine. You could look all over bookstores and websites, and you could see people who have seminars that you go to, and it's 100% guarantee that if you're having problems with your child, we can fix this. And if you're dealing with this, we can fix this. I'm sure there's a lot of good that comes out of all of those. But I get a little bit hesitant when someone claims to have all the answers on just about anything, but especially when someone claims to have all the answers on parenting. I just don't know that any of us can claim to have all the answers on parenting. And let me tell you, it's a humbling thing when you're going to preach on the subject of parenting and you think, boy, I need to make sure that they realize I know I don't have all the answers. My family is not a part of this congregation as a, quote, preacher's family. We're just a family. We're learning alongside everyone else. We're doing our best. I don't know that any of us could claim to have all the answers on parenting. And what's interesting is when you start reading some of these resources, you find out that there are generational differences. And so depending on the generation someone identifies with, you might see this generation saying, well, you know, we had it figured out back here, and we knew how to do this. Another generation says, well, we knew how to do this, and when I was raising a child, we did this. And then you read parents today in some sources who would say, well, you know, they didn't understand this back then, but we've got it all figured out. And it's just amazing to see that even in the generations, there's this idea of, well, the way we do it is the way that it ought to be done. That doesn't mean that no generation has done a good job at parenting. I think members of several different generations have done excellent jobs. I like to think that my parents did a great job parenting, but they'd be the first to tell you that they don't see themselves as being the perfect parents. And so I'm reminded that I have to look outside of my culture and my generation. If I want to find advice from God, if I want to find godly wisdom that lasts, I've got to look beyond just my immediate surroundings and kind of the popular topic of the week that we read about or that we see on news or that we read about on Facebook. I need to look beyond that and try to hold on to some of these principles that we see in Scripture. And we're going to read a lot of different Proverbs tonight as we reflect on this. But one of the things that keeps coming up is the idea of leadership provided by parents. That it's a loving kind of leadership. And what we find out very quickly is that leadership requires discipline. Now, I'm not talking specifically about forms of discipline, like ways that you might or try to give a child an incentive to do something or ways you might punish a child. That's not what I'm thinking about as much as the concept of discipline. It shows up time and time again in Proverbs. So even tonight, if you're not a parent or you're past the stage in life where you have children at home, there's still value in reflecting on how important discipline is. Because discipline isn't just important in the home, it's important to all of us who are seeking to be formed into the image of God. And what we find out when we look through not only Scripture, but also our lives, is that discipline is tough. Discipline isn't always easy. That kind of leadership and love is important. If I've got the leadership and I don't have the love, then I'll become more like a tyrant. But if all I've got is the love without any leadership and without any discipline, I'm not doing my children any favors. And so the challenge as a child of God is to say, how do I discipline the way God would want me to? Discipline is not easy, but it is needed. And we see that several different places, the first of which is found in Proverbs chapter 6, if you've opened up there. We read, "My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." Here you have this statement, a reminder to a child to keep those teachings of their father and mother with them. If you're an adult right now, you can probably think of times in your life. You think back to statements that your parents made. If you're like me, you might be talking to your children and you hear yourself say things that your parents told you. And you think, well, I know exactly where that came from. Think, I can remember that conversation. I can remember when I was told that. And there's something about the importance of that teaching being bound around your heart, tied around your neck. And it's interesting to see the connection in Proverbs 6. The commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. And we often sing the words of the psalm that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so godly wisdom that's given by parents functions in a similar way to how Scripture does. Now, Scripture is inspired. We understand that. But wise teaching of parents can do the same thing. It can light the way for a child. Or we see Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Maybe this is a more familiar one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want us to stop and think about this principle for just a few minutes. Because this verse really reminds us of the nature of Proverbs. That is, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is a collection of wisdom. Principles that are generally true. Now, you can probably think of a lot of wisdom you've learned in your life. And you can probably think, when you have in your mind that saying of wisdom, whatever it might be that you're thinking of, you can probably think of times when there was an exception to that rule. When someone did or said something that wasn't in keeping with the principle you always thought would be true, but it turns out it worked out okay for them. There are exceptions to our rules of wisdom. And so it's not that this is an ironclad decree that every time a parent does his or her best in training up a child in the way he or she should go, every time that happens, that child will never stray from that path. It's a principle that says if you provide this kind of a background and this kind of training, it gives a child a path to grow up and to mature and to succeed. We know that's true because every single one of us has the ability to choose. When we get to be a certain age and when we're out of our house, we can make whatever choice we'd like to make. And so we need to be careful before we start saying, you know, that person grew up and he grew up in that household and look at the choices that he's made. They must not have taught very well there. I need to be careful. That may have been the case, but it may not have been the case. In fact, don't we know families where you have more than one sibling that's grown up in the same house with the same training and the same background and the same experiences, and one chooses to be faithful and one chooses not to be faithful? Can we really say that, well, the parents must have trained this one right but didn't train this one right? No, we remember we're reading Proverbs. These are principles that are generally true. If this were true in every case, the only way that someone could be faithful now is if they had an unbroken chain of faithful families all the way back to Acts chapter 2, when the gospel was first preached. Because if this was an ironclad thing that was always true, you'd have to have that unbroken chain of faithfulness. But as we see in Scripture, all of us have the choice. And so we're reminded here, before I take this out of context, we're reminded here that, you know, there is no ironclad way to guarantee that someone else will do what you want them to do. But parents have the responsibility and the opportunity to set up a path, to train them in the way that they should go. Now, does it mean that someone who didn't have parents who did that can't become a Christian? That someone who grew up in a household that didn't care anything about faithfulness can't make that decision? Well, of course not. But they'll have to fight some battles that if they had had that training, they wouldn't have had to fight. They'll have to go through some hurdles that training from parents could prevent. And so I think it's important that we don't necessarily use this as a way to put anyone on a guilt trip, but we remind ourselves of the power and importance of a parent's influence. It's not an excuse to say, well, they're making their own choices, so I guess I don't have to do anything. It's just a reminder of the nature of Proverbs. I think this is why discipline is seen as something from parents that charts the course, and why Paul would tell fathers in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, not to provoke your children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You're charting a course for them. You're training them. And so when you do that, it's possible to provoke them to anger. And he's saying, as you discipline, be sure that you understand that balance in loving leadership. This is powerful, and it requires prayerful consideration. You know, it would be nice to try to for a parent to make all the children's decisions for them, for a parent to choose everything that that child would do. But as we see, that's not necessarily included in the nature of discipline. Instead, what we can do is do what the Proverbs do, which is provide constant warnings, which is to say, hey, you're going to set out in life and here's what you're going to find. And please remember this. You know, you see that time and time again in Proverbs. Please remember the words of your father. Please remember the words of your mother. They're your choices to make, but we want to let you know what's out there. We want to let you know what's coming and remind you of what God wants from you. It's a challenge. And the training that parents give makes an incredible difference. It could be a difference that's positive or a difference that's negative. I think about, for example, a way this is illustrated in the life of an athlete named Todd Marinovich. He was the son of Marv Marinovich, who was a co-captain for the 1962 USC football team. They won the national championship that year. Marv went on to be an offensive lineman and assistant coach for Oakland. And he decided that his son was going to have the perfect football upbringing. He was going to train the perfect athlete. And so from the time he was a child, Todd was not allowed to eat sugar, was not allowed to go to fast food restaurants, was not allowed to watch cartoons. He had a nutritionist and a personal trainer from the time he was a child. At age 10, he had a professional throwing coach, and he was grooming him to be a quarterback. His father chose his high school based on their football programs. In 1987, USA Today named Todd the High School Player of the Year. But what happened next is what's captured really the attention of all the journalists that followed his career. He went to USC and led them to a Rose Bowl win in his first year, but he had a hard time with freedom. He had never been given the opportunity to make his own choices before. And so he started to experiment. First, he started to experiment with eating fast food. He'd never done that. That eventually progressed until he experimented with marijuana. He was drafted by the L.A. Raiders, started, his career lasted 2 years, and the drug problems that came caused it to implode. And though he tried to play football professionally several other times, the way he tells his story, he points back to the problems that occurred because of his addiction. Now, is he responsible for his own choices? Absolutely. We're responsible for our own choices. But when you think about the course on which someone is set, it's powerful what that can do to us, isn't it? And so some of us here tonight, we may have had to come from far different backgrounds than someone else sitting next to us. You may have had to overcome things that the person sitting next to you has no idea about. And at the same time, as we think about the next generation, we're setting them on a path. They'll be responsible for their own actions, but we can choose right now whether we're going to make it easier for them to choose what's right or harder. Even as a congregation, we have a way in which, as we're encouraging young people, as we're giving them constant messages and constant feedback, we can do that in a way that will encourage them to be faithful, or a way that doesn't really communicate that kind of encouragement. And so discipline charts a course. It's not easy, but it's needed. And there's a responsibility on the part of children. We see that several times in the book of Proverbs. Just listen to how many times that children are reminded to listen to the words of their parents, a son to the words of his father. Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Or 15:31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. 23:22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 25, verse 12, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. And so time and time again, we see that a mark of wisdom is listening to discipline. And by the way, that's not just true with parents and children. It's the mark of a wise person to be willing to listen to correction. It's the mark of a wise person to listen to someone who disagrees with you and to think, do they have a point? And if they have a point, do I need to change my approach? Do I need to change my understanding? And listening makes a difference in life. Listen to what we read in Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. That it's important as a child is growing up that that child experiences the discipline of loving parents. A godly kind of discipline that encourages them in doing what's right. One of those phrases that shows up in my conversations with my children that I remember from when I was growing up is the response I would get anytime we had to get in a car and go somewhere that I didn't want to go. It seemed like every Saturday we had to drive up to Central Hardware. Dad was working on something in the yard. We needed to go to the hardware store. Saturday was our yard day. And because it was yard day, not only did I have to be out there working, but if we had to go to the hardware store for anything, I had to go. And one Saturday, I'll never forget it. One Saturday, Dad said we were going to the hardware store, but instead, he had tickets to the movie theater right next door to the first showing of Batman. And that was this great moment. And I've looked back and I thought, I wonder if he was doing that to surprise me, or so I'd stop complaining about going to the hardware store. You know, maybe we're going to see something else. But we were always going to the hardware store. And I would say, I would just ask the question, do I really have to do this? I don't want to go. And a constant refrain was, you know, sometimes in life we have to do things we don't want to do. And I can't tell you how many times I've caught myself saying that. Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. There's a principle in discipline of being trained to do things that we don't always want to do. And we see that from an early age. We see that because we know that if you're a child, you would love to watch TV all day. But that's not something that parents will just let you do, sit in front of a TV 24 hours a day. There's homework, there's schoolwork, there's things that need to be taken care of around the house. Sometimes we do things we don't always want to do. And what's on your plate when you're eating dinner? Sometimes you have to eat things you don't always want to eat. And it's amazing to me, and here's the part where it gets a little bit personal, so I'm just preparing you for it. It's amazing to me how easily we understand we've got to do things we don't want to do around the house. And we've got to do things we don't want to do at school. But then if the question is, I don't really want to go to Bible class. I don't really want to do that. Listen, I understand not every Bible class is filled with incredible excitement. I teach Bible class, and sometimes halfway through the class, I'm thinking, this isn't going very well. You know, all of us know what that's like. But do we need to be there? Do we need to be in the Word? Do we need to be together with God's people? Do we need to make sure that discipline is instilled that says we might not want to do it? It might be Wednesday night and we might be tired, and I know that's true. And it might be Sunday morning and we might have had a rough weekend, and I know that's true. But there's something about being with God's people that's important. And if I want to set a course for the life of my child, I can't think of a better habit to be involved in than the habit of meeting with God's people, to study and to worship. It's not easy, but it is needed. And discipline does something else. Scripture tells us that discipline actually teaches us about the God that we serve. The discipline is not always pleasant, but it is loving. That's probably one of the hardest things to learn as a parent, to remind ourselves that there are times when doing what is necessary discipline-wise, even though it doesn't feel good, is going to be better in the long run. Listen to what Proverbs 13 says in verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but is swept away through injustice. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now this is where we might get the roots of this spare the rod, spoil the child. Even though that's not exactly what's said here, you have this element. If there's no discipline present, it's not a sign of love. And if there is discipline present, it is a sign of love. Or what about Proverbs 27 verse 5 and 6? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. It's not just true in family life that parents who love their children would discipline them. It's true even in friendships. That there will be times when friends tell you what you need to hear that might not seem pleasant, but those things are loving. They might confront you about an issue in your life that needs to be addressed, and it might not be pleasant, and it might not feel good, but it will be loving. Or we see in Proverbs 29 and verse 17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. That there's a long-term effect of discipline that is delight, that is enjoyment. And discipline teaches us about the God that we serve. Proverbs 3 and verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. One of the common misconceptions that we have when we're young is that, you know, if my parents really loved me, then they wouldn't have any requirements of me. You know, if my parents really loved me, I wouldn't have to go to bed at a certain time, and I wouldn't have to deal with this, and I wouldn't have to do that, and wouldn't just fill in the blank of whatever it is. And yet, we're reminded here that that picture of discipline is a picture of the love that God shows His people. And when we get to the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrews writer gives it to us even in a more specific way. When he says in verse 5, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? And listen to what he says. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Here's the same principle, Old Testament principle, that's being pointed to in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you were illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Should we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The image that parents give children of discipline teaches them about the God who loves His people and who gives us requirements and gives us discipline in our Christian lives. And just like discipline is a mark of love from parents to children, it's a mark of love from the Creator to His creation. I think that's a powerful point to remember. What if we stopped to think every time we disciplined a child that what I'm doing right now is teaching them about our Father in heaven? Well, that's challenging, isn't it? But that's what we're reminded of. And we're reminded of the fact that if we have earthly parents that do the best that they can and discipline in a way that's the best they can possibly discipline, how much more should we respect our Father in heaven who disciplines us that we might live? Now, I don't know that we can always look and pinpoint just exactly what experiences in our life are building discipline. We might wish we had the perspective of God to see exactly what happened in life and to know, well, this happened because of this or this happened because of that. I'm not saying we can know that, but maybe a good question to ask would be, if something happens to me, how can I grow from this? How can I allow this to help discipline me? How can I look through this situation? How can I find a way to look through it and see a way to grow in my faith? Doing the loving thing can be difficult. Fred Craddock tells the story about meeting a man in New York who did not have any arms. And he was talking with him, and he told Craddock about the time he first had to learn how to put on his own clothes. That his mother had always dressed him and had always fed him, and he was accustomed to that. Then one day she put his clothes in the middle of the floor and she told him to dress himself. He said, I can't dress myself. She said, you'll have to do it. She went into the other room and he kicked and screamed and yelled at his mother. He told her she didn't love him anymore. And after an ordeal and struggle, which took hours, he finally put his clothes on. He said it wasn't until later that he learned his mother had gone into the next room and was just in tears through that entire experience. She knew what would be best for him in the long run. She didn't want to do it. It wasn't pleasant to do, but she wanted what was best for him. And can't we relate to that when we think about the relationship with parents and children? Can't we relate to saying, I know we have to do this, and it doesn't always seem pleasant, but this is necessary? Proverbs reminds us of that time and time again. It also reminds us that if I listen to the discipline of others, I'm doing something that's wise. We live in a culture that would just as soon have us all look to our own individual ideas and say, you know what I want to do is more important than anyone else. But when I read Scripture, I find out there's wisdom to submitting my life to the will of God's. There's wisdom to submitting my life to the loving discipline and instruction of parents and grandparents, of family members who help along the way. There's wisdom in responding to instruction and not just seeking my own will. How we parent does often teach about God, and that's challenging. But the blessing of parenting is that we serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who's given us principles in His Word, and we also serve a God that we know as we seek to show Him to the lives of our children, and as we as a congregation seek to encourage our children, we serve a God who can see us through even the most difficult times. I think that's one of the reasons I love to walk into this auditorium and to see children and to see babies that are here and being brought by their parents, because I know it's a sacrifice. And I know many of you are grandparents who help out with that process and help make it possible. That's exciting because it shows we have families that are seeking to instill that kind of value. Let's continue to do that. Let's continue to remind ourselves how important it is for families to serve God together. And one of the best things that we could take away from this lesson, and the best decision we could make, is to decide to make God our Father, to become a child of His, to be part of His family. The way we do that is by responding to His message, by deciding we're going to turn our lives around and we're going to give them over to God. A process that begins in faith in His Word and in His Son. It means we confess Jesus as Lord. It means we decide I'm going to live differently and we put Christ on in baptism. And when we do that, we know that we're part of a family with a loving Father in heaven and with brothers and sisters right here who'd love to encourage us. It may be you need to make that choice tonight. Or it may be that there's a part of God's Word, as we've been talking tonight or this morning in worship, and you've seen some instruction. And you want to change your lives. You want to submit your will to God's. That maybe you need to respond in that way. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know as we all stand and as we worship together.